G'day, Reece Downing here, and welcome to episode 53 of the Selection Bullet Points podcast. It's titled Crucial Selection Debrief Points, and this is a video I put together, or some training I put together a couple of years ago after the 2020 selection courses, or the selection courses that were run that year. And that's what I like to do every year: gather as much information as I can and lessons learned from all the selection courses for that year, and I like to pass those on. So I've got a number of those videos in my Indefatigable course for everyone in there, and I'll put out a free version of that as well, and I'm working on my 2022 one as we speak. But I haven't uploaded this to YouTube and I haven't put it as a podcast, so that's what I'm doing today, all right? And these, I looked at this recently, and there's some really great points that are still relevant, and they're going to be relevant moving forward as well. Okay, so this is a good one, good episode. You'll get a lot out of it, so please take what you can. If you've got any questions, make sure you hit me up, reece@operatoredge.com, or if you're watching on YouTube, post in the comments. Okay, so let's check out the video now. So here's what we're going to cover in today's training, and the points that crucial selection points have come out of really the last few years, or even dating back to when I did my own selection course back in 2008. So there's really good points that have come out of selection each of those years, and I'm going to go through a bunch of them now, including the physical points, emotional, mental points, soldier skills you've got to be on top of, being professional, some further recommendations for you to get across so you can prepare thoroughly for selection, and a final point. Right, so you want to take on board all of these and really, really go hard if you want to prepare well for selection. Obviously, selection's tough, but it's not just selection. You know, after that, you've got to get through the reinforcement cycle, which is pretty tough as well. So you've got to be fully prepared as best as you possibly can. So let's first go through some 2020 selection stats, and I'm just going to give you some percentages, all right? I'm not going to go through the exact figures, all right? But for Commando Selection Course last year, from everyone that turned up, there was about a 50% finish rate, all right? Just under a 50% finish rate, which is quite high. It's usually not that high. Could be a number of different reasons for that. One, you know, dudes could be a lot fitter maybe. But either way, just under 50% finished. From those 50% or so that finished, 65% actually passed, okay? So 65% of those that actually finished passed and were able to get on Rio. So from everyone who started, it was about a 31% overall rate of those getting on Rio. So everyone who started selection, about 30% got on Rio. And generally, you know, it can be up to about a 30% fail rate on Rio as well, right? So you're probably looking at anywhere sort of 15-20% actually make it into the unit after the Rio cycle. The SAS selection course last year, there was 23% finished, right, selection. From those 23%, there was 77% that actually passed selection, which gave it about an 18% overall rate of those that turned up selection to those that actually got on Rio. And again, it's up to sort of a 30% failure rate on Rio as well. Let's look at one of the police tactical units, which is, we'll look at Queensland CERT here, which is a special emergency response team. So they had an 18% pass rate for selection this year. So for everyone that turned up, there was 18% who passed selection. And then from those 18%, they went along to complete their continuation cycle, the training cycle after it, which was like their Rio, and they had a 75% pass rate there. So they had a 25% fail rate on their Rio cycle. So overall, those who turned up for CERT selection last year, 13% overall were badged. Okay, so some pretty significant numbers there from those who, you know, turning up, to those who finish, to those who pass, to those who actually get on Rio and finally get badged, all right? So some pretty interesting numbers there, and take away from that what you will. But let's get into some points, all right? Let's look at some specific physical points that have come from selection the last few years, all right? Running, for example, really with the 3.2-kilometer run, which is in webbing, and it's in boots and cams, and you're carrying your rifle, it's under 16 minutes. That's the pass rate. But really, you want to be looking to get as close to 15 minutes and under 15 minutes if you can, all right? Really to be competitive, all right? Be prepared that on the day, they might actually give you more weight, right? You might even be 1 to 1.5 kilos over the weight that you've prepared with, okay? So you want to be training at least, you know, what they say. You want to be having 9 kilos in your webbing. You probably want to make sure that you can at least get under that 16 minutes with carrying 10 kilos in your webbing, right? Because that's what happened in last year on the last year's selection courses, okay? You also can't be, or you really don't want to be in the bottom third of PT, all right? Generally on the selection courses, particularly commando selection, they'll be recording your scores throughout each session, all right? They'll have instructors there taking note of exactly who's doing what. And if you're in the bottom third of PT consistently, all right, you'll probably get buzzed, all right? And in regards to running, I know a lot of people struggle with running, but if you are struggling with running, like I did in particular, you just need to follow a good train. I'm going to go through this in a second, but you want to follow a good training program. You want to give yourself enough time. And particularly for the run, you want to be including, you know, at least a long, this is per week, at least 3 runs a week. You could start with 2, but you really want to build up to at least 3, including a long run, long slow distance run, some interval sessions, and probably a tempo run as well. And then you would actually practice the 3.2 every sort of 6 to 8 weeks, all right, depending on how far you are out from selection. If you're a long way out from selection and you know running is a weakness of yours, it's going to take some time, and you want to get on top of that as soon as possible. All right. You can run more than 3 times per week. A lot of people say, oh, don't run more because you'll get injured. But that's only if you start too quickly. All right. You can definitely run more than that. I mean, when I was training for my ultra marathon, I was running, you know, 5-6 days a week, no problem. I built up slowly, and I never had any injuries, never had any shin splinter, anything like that. All right. So you need to build up slowly. You can definitely run 3 to 4 times a week. Start slow, otherwise you could potentially risk injury, particularly in regards to shin splints, okay? So that's the running component covered. Let's talk about pack marching. For those that don't know, for those that aren't in the army, we don't call it rucking in Australia. We call it pack marching. Rucking is a UK and US term, all right? So just call it pack marching. But really for the pack marching, you've got a 20 clicker you have to do for Army SF selection, and you really want to get it under sort of 3 hours, okay, to be competitive. You got 3 hours 15, but aim for at least under 3 hours. You want to get a solid pack now, right? Even if you're a long way off from selection. Reason being is you don't want to injure yourself with a shitty pack, all right? Even if you can't spend a lot of money, you can generally find a cheap Alice frame pack off eBay, and that's what you want to go after, an Alice frame pack, because it can handle the weight and it's quite good for your back. Pack marching sucks, right? Pack marching hurts. It's always going to hurt. And you want to set yourself up as best as possible to limit that injuries. But don't think you're going to, get to a stage where pack marching is awesome and comfortable. It just hurts, right? And you just got to get used to that. But you want to get a good pack to give your body as much of a break as possible and prevent that injuries. Try for an Alice frame pack off eBay. If you do, make sure you get a large one. Don't get a small or medium, way too small. So get a large Alice frame pack off eBay to start training now. If you want a more expensive option, check out the DG16 pack as well. All right. And there's a few companies like Valhalla Tactical, I think, and maybe Plate Attack that sell those. So check out those. And the other thing is blister management. All right. A lot of dudes will get blisters, and there's all sorts of, you know, different techniques that people come up with in regards to using Condy's crystals, methylated spirits, so many different sock variations you could try. But really what I've found best is just some tape, all right? Just get some strapping tape, put them on your hot spots, know where they are. It won't take you long to work that out. Once you do work it out, you just put 1 or 2 bits of strips on only. 1 or 2 bits of strips, and that's it. Anything more, and you're actually going to be adding friction, all right? And a bit of tape, and you shouldn't have a problem, okay, with blister management, all right? So that's the pack marching. Next is swimming, all right? And I bang on about this in my Indefatigable course, and I tell everyone in my program that if you are not comfortable in the water, in the pool, you need to get comfortable, all right? Swimming, especially on commando selection, they do 2 to 3 hour pool sessions, right? If you're not comfortable in the water, you are going to get found out very quickly, right? It's even on when I did SAS selection, it was a long night swim. It was about, I think it dropped us off about 1 kilometer out, and we had to fin in the middle of the night with a partner. A lot of guys struggled on that. And water sessions are a part of most selection courses, all right? Why? Because it's a really good exercise. It's low impact, and it really elicits that survival factor, all right? If you're not good in the pool, if you're not comfortable in the water, panic can set in. Doesn't matter how fit you are. Panic can set in quick, and you will feel extremely unfit really quickly. Heart rate's going to go up. You could easily start to panic. Lactic acid will build up. Start to go underwater, and that's a safety issue, and they'll pull you out, all right? And I've seen the most guys quit on selection, during pool sessions, all right? So if you're not good in the water, get lessons. Why get lessons? Because you want to learn from a subject matter expert that can look at your technique and give you some points straight away. You don't need to be able to swim kilometers and kilometers in the pool. If you can, that's great, because then you're going to be efficient. But it's rather than trying to do it yourself and look at some YouTube videos, there's a lot in swimming. And I did swimming training since I was about 4 or 5 years old. And even I wouldn't presume to be able to tell someone or instruct someone on how to swim better. All right. So get some lessons. You might get one, go away, practice for a few weeks, go get another. You might only need 5 or 6 lessons, and you won't know yourself in 12 months. Right? You need to, if you're not comfortable in the water, get lessons, become comfortable, become efficient in the water. Otherwise, selection will find you out really quickly and you'll be off. All right. And let's go to the final notes in regards to the physical aspect of lessons learned at selection, is that in regards to physical training, you need to give yourself enough time, right? It might take 12 months or so to get your weaknesses up to speed. Running, for example, my running now, I'm 41, is a lot better than when I went for selection when I was 27. And that's because I've been following a solid training program covering all the basic running fundamentals, all right, which a lot of programs miss. And I've given myself enough time. It probably took about 8 months for it to really click. And now I'm good to go with running. So if you're not good at push-ups, if you're not good at running, if pool and water is a weakness, whatever the case may be, strength might be a weakness. You need to give yourself time, and that might take over 12 months. So give yourself enough time. Don't go into selection with a physical weakness, right? Because I'm telling you, you can prevent that, right? You can turn that weakness, maybe not into a strength, but at least not a weakness, at least not something that's going to, you know, find you out on selection and have you boot off really quickly. All right, so you need to do the work. You need to follow, get yourself a good program that covers all the fundamentals and follow it, all right? And learn from subject matter experts, all right? I.e., get a running coach, get a swimming coach, get a strength coach, all right? Learn the technique as well as do the work, okay? And then you'll be confident going to selection. You won't be nervous and anxious because you've got an activity that you're really stressing about. Because again, you'll be found out quick and selection could be over pretty quickly. All right, so that's it for the physical. Now let's talk about the emotional. All right, you need to keep your emotions in check, right? Even if you crush it, and this happened on my selection course back in 2008, happened last year, it's happened on every single selection course that I've heard about from all the different units, right? Even if you crush it in all the physical components, if you lose control over your emotions, you won't get selected to continue onto the reinforcement cycle. Simple as that. All right. It happened, like I said, it's happened on every selection course I know. It happened on both the Commando and SASR selection courses last year. It also happened on my selection. Dudes lost control of their emotions and generally towards the end of selection, and they started getting, you know, either into their teammates or they started, you know, having a go, not so much having a go at instructors, but being or biting back when an instructor's in their face. And obviously, you know, that's a big red flag and you won't get in, right? No matter how well you've done up until that point, if you lose control over your emotions, you won't get through, right? Being an effective team member, right, is highly valued, right? So you start going off at your mates towards the end of the selection, guys in your team, all right, that's going to be noticed and you won't get through, all right? And even if it's not, it will be noticed by the instructors, but even if it's not, and you receive negative reporting from your teammates during the rate your mates or a peer review, it will be very hard to pass selection, right? Because if dudes in your team, guys that you're working with on a 3-week selection course, don't rate you, don't like you, don't want to work with you, why the fuck would we as instructors, all right? We won't, and you won't get through. So you need to really keep your emotions in check and have high emotional intelligence. And if that's not you now, you need to give yourself time. You need to work on it. Stress management, right? Probably one of the biggest aspects in regards to not only selection, but also the reinforcement cycle, serving within special operations and in combat situations, right? Stress management is huge. I think it's probably the biggest, right, from my point of view. So you want to practice your stress management strategies so you know what works, right? Selection tests your ability to work under pressure and make quick decisions, right? It will exhaust you physically, mentally, and emotionally. If you can't keep your stress levels down, they will build up and they can overwhelm you. Your mind will then be looking for a way out and a way to get back to homeostasis and provide you with all the bullshit excuses for you to quit, right? Don't let it. Keep your stress levels down. One of the techniques is the tactical breathing method or the 4-count breathing method or box breathing. I'm sure you've heard about that before. It's just you could use a count of 3, a count of 4, a count of 5, whatever. You might breathe in for a count of 4, hold it for a count of 4, breathe out for a count of 4, hold out for a count of 4, and go through that, repeat that cycle until you feel more in control. The other one is the 2-stage inhale method, which is basically an inhale, slight pause, and a second inhale, right? And then you just breathe out in one stage, and then you repeat that process. The reason why the 2-stage inhale method works is that you're getting, in that second inhale, you're getting even more CO2 to transfer into your lungs so then you can breathe out, okay? Because as you build up stress levels, you're building up CO2, and that balance of CO2, O2 in the body, becomes unbalanced, right? And your stress levels can get out of control there. So that's why the 2-stage inhale method works. So you can try that. But there really are, that's just two, right? There are plenty more techniques available to try, right? What you want to do, and what I say to everyone in my program, is you want to test, adjust, and hone your stress management strategies, right? I don't say to dudes that do this because it worked for me, all right, or do this because it worked for other people, all right? Everyone's different, all right? Different strategies will work for different techniques will work for different people. You need to try them. You need to test, adjust, and hone them and find out what works for you. So you rock up to selection knowing what works, ready to execute, all right? I can't stress how important stress management is. Again, not just for selection, but also to get through Rio and serve within an elite unit. Next is mental. A couple of points on the mindset side is that even if you stuff up on selection, you can still pass, right? Every single operator I know that has passed selection has stuffed up or did stuff up at some point during selection, and they weren't sure if they would pass, right? And I've asked plenty of them. I've said, did you know that you, once you finish selection, that you would get selected? Not one of them said yes, right? Because they stuffed up on selection, right? So you will fuck up something on selection at some point, right? That's guaranteed. Selection is designed for that. However, you can still pass. And I had 3 red flags against my name when I finished selection in my final debrief, and obviously I passed, right? And even if you finish but fail to get selected, right, you can then walk away knowing you can finish selection, right? And this will set you up well for your next attempt, and you should have a next attempt, right? Many people take 2 or 3 goes to get in. Remember this, you can't get selected unless you finish, right? You can't get selected unless you finish. Once you turn up to selection, either finish or get bozzed, right? Don't say that you've had enough of selection, right? Even if you think you've fucked up so many different things, they will let you know. Instructors, the cadre will let you know when they've had enough of you, right? If you don't get bozzed, you stay there till the end. That's the attitude you need to have, right? You can't get selected unless you finish. So once you turn up, finish. Next point is soldier skills, all right? Know them, okay? Everyone knows, everyone turns up to selection, knows that you must have your soldier skills down pat, all right? And people know what they are. SOCOM tell you exactly what you need to be proficient at, but people still turn up underprepared, right? It means you're not professional. It means you haven't done the work and you're not going to get selected, right? We're looking for professionals who are motivated and put in the work and can show that on selection. So these are some of the skills that you want to be proficient at. F-88 and F-89, obviously. You want to be good at navigation, right? And a point on navigation is that ensure you do a proper nav data sheet. Right? A lot of guys get cocky and they just go off bearings and paces and they don't do a proper nav data sheet, or they just try and map to ground it when they get really confident. All right? Always do a nav data sheet. Always go off your bearings and paces. And obviously, you can try and map to ground it as well. But always do that nav data sheet. Don't get too cocky, otherwise you'll get lost. If you get lost, you'll get geographically embarrassed, or you take, you know, an exorbitant amount of time to find a checkpoint, then you're just losing time. You might hike, pack march through the bush 5-6 hours, and if you can't get that checkpoint, an instructor comes out to find you, that's it. You don't get the kilometers, you don't get the checkpoint, and by the end of the navigation phase, navigation component, if you haven't got enough checkpoints up or you haven't got enough kilometers up, then you won't get selected, and it's simple as that. So you need to get out and actually practice your navigation and really get it to the point where you feel really confident, and then always follow the best practices in regards to doing a proper nav data sheet, going off bearings and paces, all right, and be really proficient and efficient at your navigation for selection, okay? You want to know the all arms call for fire, particularly the polar method. You got to have your field craft down pat, target indications, judging distances, etc. You want to know your infantry formations. You want to know the contact drill, break contact, some room floor entry drills if you can, if you know someone that can teach you that. I don't teach tactics. I'm not allowed and I wouldn't want to anyway, but that's something you might want to know and you might want to learn from somebody from infantry that can teach you that. You want to be all over your knots and lashings. You want to be all over your first aid. You want to understand your radio and communications, right? Turn up to selection with all your soldier skills good to go. It doesn't matter whether you're coming from an army background, right, and an arms corps, or infantry, armored, combat engineers, artillery, those are the arms corps, or if you're a clerk, or if you're a medic, or if you're a truckie, right, or you're coming from the Navy, or you're coming from the Air Force. Doesn't matter. You must know these basic soldier skills, right? This shows you're professional and you've put in the work, right? So know them. The next point is professionalism, okay? When you rock up to selection, you want to be professional, and there's certain things you can do to enhance that fact, all right, and show that you are a professional. For example, secure all of your equipment. Always, always, always ensure your MEIs or your mission essential items are secured to your persons or your equipment all the time, i.e. attach them with some hoochie cord, all right, or whatever you need to do, hoochie cord or zip ties or tape or whatever the case may be. Secure your equipment, okay? There's been plenty of instances of dudes on selection losing mission essential items such as radios, right? Obviously, you lose something like that, you won't get through. Make sure all of your equipment is serviceable for selection, all right? You don't want it breaking while on course, right? And one thing to consider would be the pack frame you're using, all right? I've heard of many guys, their pack frames breaking on selection, they just get given another pack from a Q store, something that they're not used to, and it's going to make it a lot harder, okay? If it's a plastic issue one, right, so you've been issued with a plastic one, then consider buying a new one that's more durable. Many of the plastic issued frames have been known to break, right? So consider getting a good plastic frame or even a good metal frame, right? So the metal frames now are quite light, right? Some newer ones are quite light, so check those out. And again, test all of your equipment thoroughly, right? You want to have all your pouches and pockets always done up, just basic soldering, basics of professionalism, right? Refurbish all of your equipment after a task, or you always fill your water bottles up or refill them. You know, have your equipment clean. Always have your mat refolded after a task. That got me on selection. I got smashed for that. So make sure you do that. And then after you're done, help your mates. Right, teamwork and rate your mates or peer review, it's highly valued on selection. If you're lacking in some areas but are highly valued by your teammates, you'll probably get a pass on selection. However, if you rate poorly and your mates don't like you, you'll fail selection. Simple as that. Right? So professionalism, right? Some basic things there that you wouldn't believe some people don't do. And obviously, it's not going to bode well for you on selection if you don't have this covered, right? So be professional. Okay, so some further recommendations. If you can, the Special Forces pre-selection course would be good, okay? The SF prep course. You're going to be going through a lot of basic soldier skills. You're going to be going through what you're going to be assessed and tested on selection. So if you can, particularly if you're not from an infantry background, try and get on that because it's a really good 8 or so weeks to hone your soldier skills and understand a little bit more about selection and be ready for selection, okay? And the other thing about that is that you're going to start to be able to build some relationships and build rapport with other dudes on that prep course that are going to be on selection, all right? So that's going to go well. You're going to know some dudes, going to go into selection knowing some dudes, okay? So definitely worth it. I get asked this question all the time, is the prep course worth it? And it is absolutely worth it, particularly if you're not from an infantry background. If you're from an infantry background, you're all over your soldier skills, probably not. Probably don't bother. But if you're not, definitely good to go for it. The other thing is to back yourself, all right, on selection, right? You want to go into selection backing your ability. And if you've done the prep, if you understand what selection is about, if you've got all your physical components covered, if you've got all your soldier skills covered, if you've worked on your mindset, then you're going to be ready, all right? So, and then go into it, back yourself, be confident that you can handle it, that you can perform, that you can execute on selection. And even if you fuck something up, be confident that you can get back on track, okay? Because like I said before, you will fuck something up. That's guaranteed. Let it go and move on straight away. And you want to also know your why. Why are you doing it? What do you want out of it? What is it going to give you? What are you going to miss out on by not going for it, all right? You don't want to sit back another 10, 15 years always regretting selection, right? And you know, be getting into your 40s and wanting to do it, right? If you get it, if you can do it now, don't wait, train up. As long as you've got the experience, go for it now, okay? Otherwise, you'll always regret it. Ideally, you don't want to have to do selection more than once, so be fully prepared and don't put it off. However, many guys have to do selection a number of times to get through, all right? So don't be too discouraged if you don't pass the first go, all right? You will be down on yourself and you'll be negative and all that kind of stuff, and that's natural, but you want to just allow yourself to be pissed off for a little while and then get over it, take what you can learn from your first attempt, and then apply it, get better, improve for your next go. It took me 3 goes to get in, all right? So just because you've done it once and far doesn't mean shit, right? Get ready, get better, and go for next time. And last thing on that is don't take it personally. Play the game, right? The directing staff are, right? Nothing on selection is personal. The directing staff don't know you, right? They are going to test you, right? They're going to blame you for things. They're going to question your integrity. Right? That's part of the game. It's part of putting you under the pump to see if you have what it takes, right? So don't take it personally. And play the game and execute as best as you possibly can, okay? And the final point, the one thing that every single one of the guys and girls I know in my program who have successfully passed selection say is that passing is absolutely possible, right? No shit, you say, right? But I couldn't agree more on this, right? Selection is tough, but it's certainly achievable, right? People pass selection every single year on many different selection courses all around the world, right? So it's absolutely possible and it's achievable. You just need to ensure you're fully prepared and ready for anything selection throws at you. And you should start by preparing right now, right? Make time your ally, right? So if you want to be ready and you want to be as prepared as you possibly can for selection, you really want to consider my indefatigable selection prep course, all right? This is an extremely in-depth
preparation course that will have you fully prepared for selection, as long, right, as long as you actually do the work, that is, okay?
So if you want to get involved, you can, if you're listening to this, you can check out operatoredge.com/selection and you'll be able to fill out the survey and book in for a call and chat about it. If you're watching it, I will put a link in the description below, but it will send you to the same page. You'll be able to book in for a call and then we can get on the phone, we can chat and we can see if you're a good fit for my program.
So in summary, right, for running, ideally for a 3.2K run, you want to be under 15 minutes. For the pack marching, for the 20 clicker, ideally you want to be under 3 hours. You want to stay out of the bottom third of PT. If you suck at swimming, you need to get comfortable, right? You need to get lessons. Give yourself enough time to prepare, right? Might take 12 months to overcome any weaknesses. You need to give yourself that time. Keep your emotions in check. Have high emotional intelligence for selection. Practice stress management strategies, tactical breathing, or the two-stage inhale two methods. There are plenty more. Right, let go of a stuff up on selection and move on. Everyone stuffs up on selection. You can still pass. Know your all core soldier skills. Right, doesn't matter your background. You'll be tested on these. You need to know them. Be professional. Secure your equipment. Be a valuable team member. Consider purchasing better equipment. Right, the SF prep course is good to go. You want to play the game on selection, and passing is absolutely possible. And the last thing, if you want to fully prepare, make sure you consider joining my Indefatigable program. All right, so again, click on the link, fill in the survey, and let's get on a call and chat about it. All right, so that's it for this selection prep training called Crucial Selection Debrief Points. Hope you got a lot out of it, and I hope you've got a more understanding of what you need to do to prepare thoroughly for selection. If you have any questions, make sure you reach out. Email me, reese@operatoredge.com. But that's it. Thanks for listening, and I'll maybe speak to you soon. Thanks.